Stephen, an elbow rested on the jagged granite, leaned his palm against his brow and gazed at the fraying edge of his shiny black coat sleeve. Pain, that was not yet the pain of love, fretted his heart. Silently in a dream, she had come to him after her death, her wasted body within its loose brown grave clothes giving off an odor of wax and rosewood, her breath that had bent upon him, mute, reproachful, a faint odor of wetted ashes. Across the threadbare cuff-edge, he saw the sea, hailed as a great sweet mother by the well-fed voice beside him. The ring of bay and skyline held a dull green mass of liquid. A bowl of white china had stood beside her deathbed, holding the green sluggish bile, which she had torn up from her rotting liver by fits of loud groaning, vomiting. Buck Mulligan wiped again his razor blade.
"Ah, poor dog's body," he said in a kind voice. "I must give you a shirt and a few nose rags. How are the second-hand breeks?"
"Oh, they fit well enough," Stephen answered. Buck Mulligan attacked the hollow beneath his underlip.
"The mockery of it," he said contentedly. "Second leg, they should be. God knows what poxy bells he left them off. I've a lovely pair with a hair stripe, grey. You look spiffing in them. I'm not joking, Kinch. You look damn well when you're dressed."
"Thanks," Stephen said. "I can't wear them if they're grey."
"He can't wear them," Buck Mulligan told his face in the mirror. "Etiquette is etiquette. He killed his mother, but he can't wear grey trousers."
He folded his razor neatly, and with stroking palps of fingers, felt the smooth skin. Stephen turned his gaze from the sea and to the plump face with its smoke-blue, mobile eyes.
"That fella I was with in the ship last night," said Buck Mulligan, "says you have GPI. He's up in Dottyville with Connolly Norman, general paralysis of the insane."
He swept the mirror a half-circle in the air to flash the tidings abroad in sunlight now radiant on the sea. His curling, shaven lips laughed, and the edges of his white, glittering teeth. Laughter seized all his strong, well-knit trunk.
"Look at yourself," he said. "You dreadful bard!"
Stephen bent forward and peered at the mirror held out to him, cleft by a crooked crack, hair on end. "As he and others see me, who chose this face for me, this dog's body to rid of vermin? It asks me, too."
"I pinched it out of the skivvy's room," Buck Mulligan said. "It does her all right. The aunt always keeps plain-looking servants from Malachy. Lead him not into temptation. And her name is Ursula."
Laughing again, he brought the mirror away from Stephen's peering eyes. "The rage of Caliban at not seeing his face in a mirror," he said. "If Wilde were only alive to see you." Drawing back and pointing, Stephen said with bitterness, "It is a symbol of Irish art, the cracked looking-glass of a servant." Buck Mulligan suddenly linked his arm in Stephen's and walked with him round the tower, his razor and mirror clacking in the pocket where he had thrust them.
"It's not fair to tease you like that, Kinch, is it?" he said kindly. "God knows you have more spirit than any of them."
Parried again. "He fears the lancet of my art, as I fear that of his, the cold steel pen."
"Cracked looking glass of a servant. Tell that to the oxy chap downstairs and touch him for a guinea. He's stinking with money and thinks you're not a gentleman. His old fella made his tin by selling jalap to Zulus or some bloody swindle or other. God, Kinch, if you and I could only work together, we might do something for the island. Hellenize it."
Cranley's arm. His arm.
"And to think of your having to beg from these swine. I'm the only one that knows what you are. Why don't you trust me more? What have you got up your nose against me? Is it Haynes? If he makes any noise here, I'll bring down Seymour, and we'll give him a ragging worse than they gave Clive Kempthorpe."
Young shouts of moneyed voices in Clive Kempthorpe's rooms. Pale faces. They held their ribs with laughter, one clasping another.
"Oh, I shall expire. Break the news to her gently, Aubrey. I shall die."
With slit ribbons of his shirt whipping the air, he hops and hobbles round the table, with trousers down at heels, chased by aides of Magdalen with the tailor's shears. A scared calf's face, gilded with marmalade.
"I don't want to be debagged. Don't you play the giddy ox with me."
Shouts from the open window. Startling evening of the quadrangle. A deaf gardener, aproned, masked with Matthew Arnold's face, pushes his mower on the somber lawn, watching narrowly the dancing motes of grasshalms. To ourselves, new paganism, Omphalos. Let him stay, Stephen said. There's nothing wrong with him except at night.
Then what is it?
Buck Mulligan asked impatiently.
Cough it up. I'm quite frank with you. What have you got against me now?